This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Established over 20 years ago, Home of Peace is a home for underprivileged girls, which places an emphasis on education while providing a safe, loving environment for the girls to grow up in. I'm joined now by founder Justine Marias to discuss her work and dedication in ensuring the girls in her charge have the same opportunities that she herself enjoyed while growing up. Welcome to the show, Justine.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and your family. I mean, what were your growing up years like? What were you like as a girl?
Well, first of all, I come from a very large family. There are 12 of us. And we grew up in a family that had to give and take a lot. Mom and Dad worked very hard to make sure that we got the best that they could provide for us. And growing up years, we always had company because there's always a sibling around, many siblings actually. So there's always company around, a lot of fighting, the normal things that children do. And one of the things that my growing years, all of us siblings, was our parents, we couldn't afford much. But one of the things that my parents instilled in us was faith in God and education. And that kind of was the stepping stone right up to now for all of us, these two. And that's what took us through and is still taking us through right up to now. So I had an interesting childhood. Sometimes I thought it was unfair that there are too many of us. And my parents were strict and was thinking, wow, very strict parents. But when you think about it, what they instilled in us set the foundation in us in caring, sharing. Of course, at that time, there was a lot of complaints about how Mom and Dad were doing things. But yeah, I'm grateful for how they brought us up.
Considering those, guiding principles, what kept you busy prior to setting up the Home of Peace?
I was working, but through it all, it's like, yeah, I'm working, but there must be more to working than just getting up, going to work, working, and what is it that I can do? I always felt that there was something else that I could do. And after a lot of soul searching and again falling back on my faith, I felt that I wanted to do a little bit more because during the years when we were growing up, much as we had challenging times while we were growing up, 12 children, I can imagine only Dad was working. But Mom and Dad always made sure that whoever came to the door, they helped them. And I suppose all of us saw that. I mean, at that time, we just took it for granted. But the seed must have gone into us watching them helping others. So after some time working and still soul-searching, what else? There must be something more to this. A friend was telling me about the squatter areas and how there's still children who are unable to go to school simply because sometimes they don't have a pair of shoes or they don't have bags. And I felt that should not be reasons why a child should not go to school. And so I followed this friend to these areas and it was a shock to my system because I've never seen anything like that before. And I saw how much the need was. And so that was what started this Home of Peace.
How did you go from having that realization of, okay, these are people who need help, to actually taking action and beginning to, you know, really put that together?
Well, it was not an easy time because seeing that and wanting to do something about it and actually doing it, two different things.
Yes, absolutely.
I had to get myself ready. And I worked for a while in one of the homes in KL, in PJ. And that kind of gave me some experience. But still, the need to do something more was there. And after some time, I decided, okay, I'm going to get my family and friends together. We're going to start looking into getting a home registered. And that's what we did. And once the registration came through, then I began to look for a house. And of course, during that time, those were the like finding the house and getting the committee together. That is one part of it. I had to get myself ready emotionally and mentally and physically too. And because it's one thing to say I want to go and help people in that area, but it's another thing to actually step into these places and actually take on the commitment. And a lot of changes had to take place in my own life first before I could do this. And I would say it took me a full 3 years to get myself ready to take in the first two girls who came into the house.
How do you define the mission for the Home of Peace?
See, my parents, there were 12 of us, and only my father was working at that time. My mother worked very hard. I still remember she used to wake up very, very early in the morning to cook the breakfast and to wake us up, because if she didn't wake us up, none of us would have to be in time.
And it's not school. Easy to wake up 12 children either.
And I can remember from a very young age, she used to be up as early as 4, preparing the breakfast and washing the clothes and stuff like that. But they both did it so that all 12 of us could get an education. And if at all we are successful, it's because of what my parents did for all of us. And of course, they instilled in us that all these things is possible. You know, our faith in God, and these are the foundation for us. And so it all stemmed from that. So my father and mother, even if they didn't have enough money, they never said, you can't go to school. In fact, they pushed us to school. And even when you were sick, and if anyone said, oh, we're not feeling well, we don't want to go to school, my parents said, as long as you can walk and as long as you look okay, you can go to school. So that kind of put it in all of us, you know. So the mission right now is just based on what my parents did for all of us. It's education.
To make it possible for these girls to go to school.
Yes, education is the way out.
Who are the girls who call Home of Peace home? You know, what circumstances have usually led them to come to live with you instead of their own families?
The home started off officially in 1993, and it started off with two girls because someone heard that I had set up the home, and they brought these two girls to me because dysfunctional family, and the girls were often left alone in the house, and it's not a safe environment where they were in. So sometimes they are referred to me, and sometimes other homes refer children to me. Pastors refer children to me. The hospital refers children to me. And oftentimes I meet with the guardian or mom who brings the child to me. And yes, there have been times when I have said no to some children simply because I felt that there's an extended family who can still care for the children when mom goes out to work. That I have said no to some in some circumstances. But on the whole, I look at the background of the family. Oftentimes it's mom being single mom, and she's got children and she has to go out to work, and the children are not in a safe environment, and mother is determined that the children get an education. So it's easier to work with a mother who understands the importance of an education for her daughters. So I work with moms like that, and I have one or two grandmothers who desperately want their granddaughters to grow up having an education. And if I have people, the families of the children who understand that, it's easier to work with them. And I also lately been the hospital have, you know, they've referred two cases to me. So that's how I get my referral. And in all of this, the mission when we started in 1993 till today is to help educate girls, because they are the going to be mothers in the future, and they in turn going to know the importance of education. And who knows, among the girls who have been educated, one of them might come up with a cure for cancer or something, who knows? So, yeah, education. That's the mission of the Home of Peace.
How many girls can you accommodate at any given point?
This year, I've got 17 girls, and this is by far the largest amount of children I've ever had. I keep the numbers down because in that way, I can give them the one-to-one that they need. But 17 is my largest number, and it's still manageable. But much as I don't like saying it, I think I will not be able to take in any more.
What is the age range, I mean, of those 17 girls?
The oldest is 17, and the youngest just turned 1 in February.
Oh, okay. Yes. So you really do have 1 through 17.
Yes, yes.
And does anybody, I mean, who helps you out with this? Because I think the needs of a 17-year-old are very different from the needs of a 10 or a 1-year-old.
Definitely, definitely. I have Gracie, who's the house mother, who helps me Monday to Friday and even weekends, and sometimes she stays overnight. And Gracie's hands are full with the younger ones because it's still hands-on with the younger ones. And then we have Shanti, who is our... she comes in to help us clean up the place. It's a big house, lots of children. Place is always messy all the time. And we have Mira, who's our cook. And then we have Asha, who we homeschool our children. So Asha is, I've asked her to please run that part of the home. And we have Margaret, who does the admin for school. And we have Alice, who just joined us, who's the teacher. And then the rest are all wonderful, wonderful volunteers who come in on a daily basis to help the children in their studies and music and, you know, even taking the children out for games and swimming. Yeah, so that's on a daily basis, that's how it is.
I'm speaking today with Justine Marias, founder of the Home of Peace, which is a home for underprivileged girls, placing an emphasis firmly on education. Next, we talk about the model that the Home of Peace kind of functions on, as well as why the girls are fully homeschooled. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and in the studio with me today, Justine Marias, founder of Home of Peace, which is a home for underprivileged girls, placing an emphasis on education. You explained earlier, you know, what motivated you to start this and what your mission was and has been. Now, you referenced that it took you a while to get off the ground because, you know, it just took you a while to get prepared to. Can you walk me through the process of setting up Home of Peace? I mean, did you model it upon anything? Did you think from the beginning about things like sustainability and how it was going to last? I mean, it has been
21 years.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Basically, the only model that I have or had was based on my own family. Large family, and education was important, but besides education, you also need the normal things like food and water and clothes and everything. So I actually loosely modeled Home of Peace on what I know that is my own family. But of course, there's a slight difference in it, and I was determined that when I set up Home of Peace, that it was going to be run as much like a normal home as compared to an institution. So that's why I keep the numbers down. So I don't want to have more than I can manage, because it won't be fair on the children if I'm tired all the time and unable to care for the children. So that's why I have a certain number of children. And it's like our house. It's not institutionalized. And I try to make it as normal as possible. And Every child helps the other just as you would in a normal family. And the older ones help with the younger ones, and everyone's got their own duties and things to do. And of course, because it's a home, it's registered, there are rules and guidelines set by the authorities that I need to follow. But it's also like a house, like an everyday house. There's a cat looking around somewhere, the pet, and then I try to make things as normal as I can. And that's why I took the commitment to stay in, so that the children will always know that there's one person there that is there, that's permanent, as part of a permanent fixture.
Yeah. What is it that you provide the children with through the home? I mean, you've talked about the important things, you know, food, shelter. Yeah. Is that kind of... So do you provide everything?
Yes. Yes, we do. Education, and then, of course, counselling. Counselling not like in the formal way, sit down, I talk to you sort of thing. It's counselling in a sense that in every time that there's an opportunity to talk to a child about something, that opportunity, I take that opportunity to talk to that child. And I think when the child first comes in, it's very difficult for the child, even if she's from a background that of tremendous neglect, but that is the background that she knows. So coming into a new place, everything is new and everything is very different. Then you talk the child slowly through that period, give her time to settle in and help her along. Because the first few days are the most awful times. The child won't be talking and it'll be quite sad. And the minute the child becomes a little noisy and a little running around, then I know she's on the road to getting better. She's settling already. So, yeah.
You started fully homeschooling the girls in since 2013. Yes. Why was that choice made?
Okay, that choice was made simply because our children, they have been through a lot in their lives. From way too young, they've already experienced things and seen things and deprived of their some of their rights. And putting them in school from 7:30 to 1 and sitting in a structured environment, they couldn't cope. They were never in a structured environment before. So to sit down and to do their studies, they could not, and they were disruptive. It's not because they were slow or because they could not understand their study. It was just plain not being able to cope in that environment. And had to go to school a few times to see the teachers. And finally, the decision was made to homeschool them. So homeschooling them, they work at their own pace. And they have their time to catch up. Some of our children, the older ones, they are getting prepared for the IGCSEs, whereas the younger ones among them, some are still struggling with reading, with writing. But because they are in an environment where we don't have to finish the lesson in 45 minutes, they are coping better.
Less pressure.
Less pressure, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So they are coping better. And because we are homeschooling, we can put in a little bit more different subjects and we can try different approaches with the children. And I see that it's working for them. So that's why the decision was taken to homeschool and will probably continue until they're really back on their feet again.
Considering that this was modeled after, you know, your own home and your own family, and it functions in like a very large family, I assume that like any family also, you can all love each other without necessarily getting along all the time. How do you deal with or mediate conflicts that I assume might arise, you know, between 17 girls in one house?
Definitely. Always there's someone saying, oh, she took my pencil, or she took my this. So always, all the time. So we've got to get both of them. So, okay, now, what's the issue? So one child says, so-and-so took my pencil, or she tore my paper or something or the other, and then try to get them both to talk it out. And then what they have to do is to apologize to one another, and if they are willing to give one another a hug so that everything is forgiven and
forgotten.
That
can sometimes be a stretch.
Yes, because sometimes I don't want to, I don't want to hug her. So, okay, it's fine, but you still need to say apologize to one another. Much as trying to make it function as a normal house, we have all this little intrigues going on behind the scenes. But on the whole, they are a great bunch of girls.
At what age do they stop living with you and where do they go from there?
We are registered with the Ministry of Welfare, and by 18, the girls are considered adults. Mm-hmm. And they can leave the home. But at 18, we felt, Home of Peace felt, that they're still a little too young to leave. And that's the time when they will be going to college or to uni. So we've still got to watch over them and still help them through. So at 18, if a child wants to do the next step, like, we are encouraging every girl to reach her potential, the highest. And if she wants to be a teacher, yes, then we're going to help you. We'll see how we can help you through college and to get sponsorship and to help you. And if there's hostel available, then she will be at the hostel. Otherwise, she'll still very much live in the house with us. So until they finish their education and we are able to help them find a job and then help them find housing, then they go. Like right now, the older girls who are working, they come home during the weekends to help me with the watching over the other children. So they do come back. And we have one of our girls who finished studying in Auckland. And that's what we tell our children. It's really up to you how far you want to go, and we will walk with you until you finish your education. And always know that this is your home. You can always come back, and so that the follow-up can still go on.
Having said that, I mean, education is expensive. This is true for anybody, really.
Yes.
So what is the process through which, for your girls who have gone on to college and university, how has that funding process usually been?
For my two older ones, we managed to get very good people who came forward to say that they will help cover the expenses of the two of the older ones. The one who's studying in Auckland, friend's family came forward also to help cover her cost. And she is now in a final year. And that is a great achievement for her. And we are tremendously proud of her. And the two older girls have finished. And we are encouraging the children who are in the house with us to reach your potential. And we will help you because we will find people to cover your, sponsors, find sponsors for you. So if you want to be an astronaut, go forth. Do it.
Could you share some success stories involving the girls? I mean, it sounds like you've had some, really tremendous success stories.
Yes, but this success stories, it is really the child understanding what the mission is all about, the call is all about, and working towards it. It's if the child is willing, then the success is going to be for her. Because very much as Home of Peace is making these things available, is very much the child wanting to achieve things for her future. So the older girls worked towards it. Of course, as they were growing up, they couldn't see the need and the necessity to, to study and to have this big ambition, because my mother didn't do this or that, and she's still okay. So why is it that I have to study, and why should I do this? But as they grew up and as they were growing up, they begin to realize that, yes, it is education that is the important thing. So I would very much, if there is a success story, it is very much the girls having realized what education is all about and understanding it, and then to run with that vision. It's very much the girls' achievement more than Home of Peace. Home of Peace was a stepping stone for them. We gave them an opportunity, but the rest of it is very much them running with the vision.
In the many years since Home of Peace was founded, how have you faced the typical problems that do plague a lot of social workers, such as burnout, disillusionment, just exhaustion, especially considering that you've embedded yourself in-house, you're there all the time.
Yes, I won't hide the fact that it's a difficult thing, but no one forced me into it. This is something that I felt in me that it's my calling that I wanted to do, and I can't imagine not doing this ever. But yes, tiredness is there. Disillusionment comes in, creeps in when I'm not looking, and a burnout hours there. it's all these things are real. It's there. But all that pales in comparison when a child who has been so difficult, who cannot read, begins to read. You know, nothing compares to that feeling that, wow, she can read now. And this morning, just before I came out here and we were having breakfast, Shamila, who's only 7, was actually reciting her multiplication tables 10 times table. And when she finished, she said, how was it? I said, excellent, well done. It's an achievement. So, and then I think, yeah, it's worth it, waking up early. Because it is going to benefit the children, you know. So, yeah. So it's a good thing.
What support would you like from the public for the Home of Peace? Are donations tax deductible?
I tell you, and I don't think Home of Peace is the only home that is facing issues, challenges where funding is concerned. Funding has gone down. It's a challenge to fundraise. People are very, very, very wonderful. Malaysians, they really have a heart of gold. And definitely funding is the number one that we need. And after that comes things like not right now, I have little ones who need special formula. And to my horror, I found out lately the price of a tin of formula is it's very expensive. So that would be the next thing that I would say. And physical help, in a sense that we are still looking for volunteers. We're still looking for people to come to help us in our homeschool. We're still looking for math teachers, and because when it comes to a certain level, physics and things like that, I have to say, oh, hands up, I can't do this. So we are looking for volunteers to help us in helping our children, the older girls, yeah? So if there's anyone out there who would like to volunteer, please do get in touch with us.
What advice or tips would you offer to aspiring social workers, to people who are listening and thinking, yes, you know, there are these things that I've noticed in my community, in my society, that I would like to change or I would like to affect?
Yeah, what I would say to you, who has this passion and this burden to step out to help, is no turning back. Because once you start this work, there's no turning back. You have to carry on with it. It's hard work, sometimes even dangerous. But once you start this work, you cannot give up halfway to say, oh, maybe I made a mistake. This is not what I should be doing. There are lots. I'm only able to help 17 girls. There are more children out there, boys and girls who need help, young adults who need help. And I would say, make very sure that this is what you want to put upon your life. If this is the right, if this is your calling, then go ahead and do it. But again, I would say no turning back. Because once you start this, lots of people are going to depend on you. So you can't give up halfway. It's a tough job, but it's also very rewarding, you know. It's rewarding in simple ways. Like I said, when a child begins to read, that is beyond explaining the feeling, you know. That's an amazing feeling. And you've managed to touch one life to a better future.
For more information on the Home of Peace Kuala Lumpur, you can visit the Home of Peace KL Facebook page. Thank you very much for coming in, Justine.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Justine Marais, founder of the Home of Peace, which is a home for underprivileged girls that places an emphasis on education. Again, if you want to help out, check them out on Facebook. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.